We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Before we read these verses, let us turn to God in prayer to seek His help. Our Father in heaven, we have read your word many times, and the story we will read seems familiar to most of us. And yet, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to understand, to believe, and to respond to it. And so we ask you for your Holy Spirit's work. Add his work to the word spoken. And we pray that the effect your word has on us will be his effects, the effects of repentance and faith, of grace and new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 5, beginning at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Brothers and sisters, after you have sinned more seriously than you thought you could, is Christ willing to restore you? This question probably has only two answers. Some may say, "Of course Christ will restore me." Because they're thinking, "My sin may embarrass me, but God is not terribly angry with it." Some will believe that Christ restores them because he has promised to restore those who place repentant faith in him. The condition of your heart will decide the answer you give. Now, the story in Luke 5 focuses on the willingness of Christ. It does not concern whether Christ was able to heal the leper. Rather, the leper raised the question of Christ's willingness. The leper must have had reasons for thinking Christ might not heal him. Maybe Jesus considered him so despicable, so guilty, he didn't want to deal with the leper. Or maybe Jesus, like all the others the leper knew, looked at him with contempt and disapproval. So this story asks about the willingness of the Almighty Savior. And if Christ willingly restored that leper, then he just might have willingness to restore you too. We can thank God that this story presents the willing Savior. Jesus demonstrated his willingness to stoop to the most pathetic person to help him. He is willing to restore you also. As we learn about the willing Savior, we see in this story his pathetic guest and his gracious help. Verse 12 shows us that pathetic man. The leper was beyond all human hope. It says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Maybe we should take a few moments to learn just a little about the condition of a leper in Jesus' day. Leprosy consisted of a slow progressing and barely contagious disease caused by a bacterium. It was most commonly produced scales on the skin, which led to greater disfigurement. Often the skin of the leper near the eyes and ears thickened into scales, spots with deep furrows between them. The thickened spots became dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. Eventually, leprosy entered the blood and rotted the bones. Eventually, then, fingers and toes dropped off. The leper would lose his eyebrows, his eyelashes. His voice would turn into a screeching sound that others found difficult to listen to. He gave off a very unpleasant odor. The leper's physical wretchedness caused others with healthy bodies to despise him. Since people dreaded this disease, society quarantined lepers. But there was an added feature to the life of lepers in the Old Testament and now in the life of Jerusalem. People also ostracized lepers because of spiritual symbolism. The Old Testament declared lepers unclean. This means they symbolized the uncleanness of sin. And so the Old Testament prescribed methods that the priest would use to verify or to testify concerning whether a man had leprosy. And once the priest declared him to be a leper, that man must walk and shout wherever he goes, unclean, unclean, so that people could keep their distance and not become contaminated by his disease and his spiritual uncleanness. And if the leper believed himself to become healed, he must go to the priest for the priest to declare him cleansed and then for the priest to offer a sacrifice on his behalf. Now imagine for a moment the plague of isolation which leprosy brought on a man. Never to have contact with his loved ones again. Imagine the hopelessness of having this dreaded disease. In our story, the leper seems to surprise everyone. We find Jesus in the middle of a certain town where no leper should walk. And then, what do you know? There stands this leper near Jesus. He must have looked pathetic. The story says he was full of leprosy. Luke doesn't tell us whether he had lost his fingers or toes yet. We may safely say, though, that his appearance horrified the people around Jesus. His uncleanness must have made them step far away from him. It says he begged Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This showed amazing faith. Quite probably, this took place early in Jesus' ministry, and so quite possibly, Jesus had not yet healed any other leper in his public ministry. Now, God had healed the leper Naaman in the Old Testament through the ministry of the prophet Elisha. But what convinced the leper that Jesus had the same power? The Bible contains no promises from Jesus that he will heal lepers. No invitation from Jesus for lepers to come to him. Still, the leper came and begged. He must have perceived Christ's divinity. Maybe he had heard Jesus teach Maybe he then became convinced that Christ's authority vastly exceeded the other teachers in Jerusalem. Maybe he had watched from a distance Jesus perform miracles. Maybe he believed then in Jesus' divine power. For whatever reason he had, the leper came with full confidence in Christ's power, his ability to cleanse and restore him. Yes, Christ was strong, but was Christ willing? And why would Jesus be willing? Certainly no one else had shown much interest in this leper. Society had avoided him. Would Jesus also be turned off by his disgusting appearance and odor? The sin he symbolized, his forsakenness, which was the leper's cross. If anyone ever illustrated God's forsakenness, the leper's appearance did. Would Jesus then willingly heal, or would he also turn away? Now, before we continue in the story, we have to pause one moment to say this. Every Christian should look at that leper and see himself. Because this man shows us not merely repulsiveness. His leprosy in the eye of the Jews showed the repulsiveness of our sins. The Bible does not sugarcoat human sin. It tells us that sinners rebel against God and that sin comes from spiritual death. It tells us about the dreadful wickedness of the human heart, that even the human mind cannot comprehend the extent of human corruption. When God viewed the human race in the time of Noah, he concluded that the inclination of every human thought was always evil all the time. Like a factory, the human heart manufactures sinful thoughts and plans. Sin does not look pretty to God, not even harmless. Without restoration, we will all go to hell and be destroyed forever. It should amaze each of us that anyone receives salvation, especially if we belong to those who are saved. The despicable condition of the heart without Christ should also remind us of the kind of teaching Jesus gave in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. With words like these, Jesus invited his audience then and now to a realistic humility, which senses how we appear before God. He commands that confession of sin and repentance from sin constantly show themselves in our lives. And only when we acknowledge that we can accomplish nothing to attract God's favor, only then will we understand the gospel, and only then can we understand the Christian life. So Christ's pathetic guest helps us see what we should see in ourselves if we were not in Christ. But the story continues also to show us Christ's gracious help. Jesus showed willingness to restore the leper. It says he reached out and touched the leper. just possibly no other healthy person had touched him in many years. By extending his touch, Jesus already demonstrated his willingness. When Mark tells us the same story in Mark 1 verse 41, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says that Christ is the kind of high priest who sympathizes with us in our weakness. Though divine, heavenly, and holy, Christ demonstrated amazing concern and kindness to this unclean man. Then Jesus said, "I am willing. Be cleansed." With so few words, he demonstrated his love and authority. Though the leper had shown uncertainty about whether he should even come to Christ, Christ showed with his words that this leper was exactly the kind of person he welcomes. Then Jesus said, "Be cleansed." He showed that he would indeed heal the leper's hopeless body. And immediately, the leprosy left him. Jesus commanded the man to show himself to the priest. He said this so that the man would comply to the rules in Leviticus concerning the ceremonial restoration of the once unclean leper. It showed symbolically that what Christ came to do was to forgive, to restore, and cleanse sinners. But Christ also told the man not to make the healing public. Jesus had come primarily to preach the good news of the kingdom of God in this phase of his life. If word got out, people would all come to him wanting physical restoration and healing and not really show interest in what he had to teach. And precisely that is what took place. Word got out. Great multitudes came to seek him for healing. And so Jesus had to withdraw so that alone he could pray and prepare for further preaching. Now, by withdrawing, Jesus was not resorting to unwillingness to take on the burdens of other sinners. Rather, he remained most willing to remove the most significant burden we have, most of all, the burden of our sins and God's judgment on them. Christ's willing grace shows us God's willingness to rescue us. Think of two stories Jesus told about forgiveness. You know the famous story of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee was a person most Jews highly respected. And that is because they scorned their religious leaders, the scribes. The scribes and priests loved their positions of power. They had no real concern or love for God and his word. They lived thoroughly corrupt lives as managers of the temple. And the Pharisees spoke against the corruption. They spoke about values, about principles. One of these Pharisees, a righteous-looking man, prayed in the temple, "Lord, I thank you that I do not stoop to the level of other men. I tithe more than your word commands, and I give generously to the poor." Then in Jesus' story, there was a tax collector in the temple who came to pray. The people despised him. Though a Jew, he worked for the enemy and collected taxes for Rome at a more oppressive rate than even Rome demanded. Tax collectors enriched themselves off the corrupt taxation system imposed by the enemy. possibly tax collectors had to live together in gated communities so they could protect each other from most Jews who hated them. When this tax collector went to the temple, he came to pray and he said, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." His attitude said, "Lord, if you are willing, forgive me." And Jesus said, he went home forgiven. We could not imagine a greater contrast in human appearances. One outstandingly good, the other outstandingly corrupt. Yet Jesus declared that God willingly forgave the offensive man who repented. Remember the story of the prodigal son. I'll just highlight one part of it. When the sinful son returned home, he confessed his sins to his father. He claimed no rights from his father. He wanted only restoration to his father, even if that meant being his father's slave. His request amounted to this: "Father, if you are willing, restore me." And his father welcomed him with open arms. So Christ teaches us the full extent of his grace. Indeed, all our sins greatly offend the Lord. But sometimes even we cannot believe some of the sins we've committed. We become ashamed of ourselves and see more than ever before the foolishness of our plans, the idolatrousness of our passions, and the self-centeredness of our love. Suddenly, the conscientious Christian asks whether Christ is willing to restore him. His sins seem so great. And to the repentant sinner, the gospel says, "I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sin and lawless deeds I will remember no more." It declares to all who repent and trust in Christ, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Christ extends mercy which the forgiven can never get over. And if Christ has willingly treated us in this way, forgiving our sins, we should willingly embrace others who repent of their sins and turn to God. No one commits attractive sins, at least not attractive to God. But we find some sins far more revolting than most of our sins. Yet Christ willingly embraces practitioners of great sins who repent. We Christians, acknowledging the depths of our own sinful capacities, should demonstrate his forgiveness when others repent. Christ's willingness to us must create our willingness towards others. And in this way, the amazing grace of Christ keeps on amazing the world. So this morning we've looked at the willing Savior. We've seen his pathetic guest, and that includes you and me, and we've seen his gracious help. Christ remains the same today. Pathetic sinners approach him for his willing grace. And he lovingly restores all those who trust in him for forgiving mercy. Today, as we observe the Lord's Supper, And later, as we leave this place, let us always remember Christ's will and grace. He extends it to sinners willingly, freely, abundantly, and gladly. Let us turn to Him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the abundance of Your mercy for sinners. We thank You that by repenting of our sins and trusting in Christ, we gain and receive the privilege of becoming Your children, fully reconciled to You, fully forgiven by You. And Lord, we ask that as we continue in worship to observe the Lord's Supper, Your Holy Spirit will be present to assure every repentant Christian here of Your abundant grace for him and her. And if there are any here who have not repented of their sins, let them see that they are in a far worse situation than the leper unless they turn to Christ for mercy. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.